How do you walk? Strange question, I know. But think about it. Can you recognize someone by their walk? Some people are slow walkers, right? Some people. They just bolt, right? Kelly and I were in the mall last night. Some people are walking around, their heads in the sky or their heads in their phone, right? Have you ever seen an older person walk like this? Right? You have a distinct walk. Some people strut. Or they walk boldly, right? How do you carry yourself in the world? Paul, in Romans chapter 6, talks about what it means to walk in newness of life. That's the invitation that we're given today. That our walk as baptized Christians is to walk in newness of life. What does that look like? How can you walk in newness of life? Well, Paul says that, don't you know that all of us who have been baptized in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, all of us who have been baptized into Jesus' death. It's such a striking passage, isn't it? When you think about baptism, and we've had a few in the recent weeks, we think of it as the beginning, often baptizing an infant. The beginning, maybe, of life, or the beginning of a faith journey. We have had baptisms of adults who have come to faith later in life and have made this massive decision to place their trust in Christ. But Paul says we're baptized into Jesus' death. So rather than being a beginning, we should understand baptism as an end. And just as Christ was raised from the dead, so too might we walk in newness of life. We're baptized in Jesus' death, and we're raised with him in his resurrection. Put another way, your day of death was your baptism day. Dramatic way to put it, I know. Your eternal life doesn't just start at your last breath. Your eternal life, your eternal walk, the walk of newness of life, begins at baptism. This understanding of baptism and this idea of eternal life beginning here and now is a powerful statement, not only about God's presence in our life, but about our ability to walk in newness of life. Because let's face it, what is the thing that we fear the most? Because Jesus says in the gospel, do not be afraid of those who can harm the body but cannot touch the soul, those who kill the body. What is the thing that we are afraid of the most and we don't ever want to talk about it? That's not rhetorical.
Death.
We're afraid of our death, right? Think of all the euphemisms. Someone passed away. They went to a better place. And all of the industry that we have in our culture to mask even the aging process. But Jesus tells us is, do not be afraid. The thing that you're afraid of the most, you've already experienced. We are baptized into Christ's death. Because what we really fear about death, I think, is what happens next. Heaven, hell, worm food. Jesus' promise to us is that we are baptized into Christ's death so that we also, as we die in those waters of baptism, rise up a new creation. Eternal life has already begun, even as our mortal life continues, so that we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid of our own mortality because our place in heaven has been secured. And imagine if your biggest fear is the end of your own mortal life, if that's already been determined, then all of that spiritual and mental energy that we have allocated toward that worry, toward that fear, where can that go? How can that energy, that concern, be redirected into ways that are a blessing to others? In the context of Matthew chapter 10, Jesus tells the disciples, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the spirit. He tells them this. If you go back and read more in chapter 10, he says, I'm sending you out like sheep amidst the wolves. Be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Jesus is preparing the disciples to carry on his work. The disciples are not above the teacher. It's enough for the disciples to be like the teacher. And what Jesus specifically means in this context is, by following me, you're going to be in danger. People have persecute you. They'll judge you. They will put you on trial. They'll imprison you, torture you. After all, each of the disciples, each of the apostles, are martyred for their faith. But Jesus says, do not be afraid. God's already covered you. God's word to you is every hair on your head is counted. Do you know how many hairs on your head there are? Any idea? I mean, Jesus said they're counted. How many do you think there are? Who's got a guess? 200,000. We should play Price is Right. Anyone want to go over, under? 1,000,000. Okay, any other guesses? I mean, even if it's 200,000 is a pretty good guess. I had to Google it. 100 to 150,000 hairs. Do you think you could actually count 100,000 hairs on your head? I think I would lose count. How could you tell the difference, right? Even the story of counting the sheep, right? 100 sheep in the field. How do you know if you've not already counted the sheep? They're moving, because they're moving. The gospel says that God's concern for even the sparrow that is sold for a penny is paramount. And God knows every hair on your head, and has counted it. And not just you, every person is inherently loved by God. So why are you afraid? Why do you have fear? Learn to trust that even in the most difficult situations, God is with you. And in those moments that are most trying, whether that's our health, our finances, our family, whatever it is that is shaking our foundations, to remember that God's love for you is infinite and that God knows everything that you're going through, and you do not walk alone. And that the worst thing that could ever happen to you, God's already covered. We are baptized into Christ's death so that we already are a new creation, risen from those baptismal waters. That God's promise is unshakable, and God knows every hair on your head. Maybe Greg has 200,000, I don't know. So whatever you're going through, and together as a congregation, God is with you. And in newness of life, you're invited to walk. Walk in trust. Walk in Holy Spirit power, knowing that God is with you and that God is calling you to do something powerful so that you might be a blessing to one another, to your community, and beyond. So let us walk with our head held high, knowing God has blessed us beyond measure. Let our lives be guided by gratitude. And let us be that blessing to one another and the world. Amen.